This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati makes the news for a lot of reasons, but rarely one as quirky as this. Two mines bring the tunnels and pipes beneath the city to life with a comic book that explores the thousands of miles of dark, uncharted territory. And the comic is full of mysterious alien-like creatures slithering through the tunnels that are reminiscent of the waste flowing through the sewers. The comic was written and published by the founder of No Theater, Jay Kalagayan, and illustrated by artist and musician Dylan Spieg. The two join us to discuss the comic and the inspiration behind it. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dylan and Jay, good to see both of you this afternoon.
Good to see you.
Hello, hello.
Jay, am I correct? Comic or graphic novel? What? How should I refer to this?
Well, they're singular chapters. We print out the different individual comic books, and then we'll collect it into a graphic novel format.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a hybrid. It's a little bit of both that we're working with here. And the title of this is, if I'm reading it right, it's MEST.
Yeah, that's correct.
The MEST. M is capitalized, one of the S's is capitalized, and the T is capitalized as well.
Yeah, which is short MSD. For MSD, Metropolitan Sewer District, and the employees call it MEST. It's kind of their pet name. Now, we don't say it's Cincinnati, but it's definitely got its roots from there.
Okay.
Inspiration, how about that?
Yeah. So that was the inspiration. How did you come up with the idea for this?
I've always had a love of comic books, and I've been always trying to find that idea. I've always wanted to do something like that. The idea of just unexplored tunnels the fantastic. We don't even know what's down there. And so the idea came to me, and I had some great tours with a Metropolitan Sewer District, let us do a tour of their treatment plant, and then Sanitation District 1 in Northern Kentucky, they let me follow their trouble call crew. So it was great just research and inspiration and creating this comic book.
And as far as you know, is this the first comic book that's based on a public utility?
That I don't know, but I'm going to say pretty close, or for first or second.
Yeah, I would say like the Ninja Turtles live in a sewer, but that was about the only one I could really think of.
But they don't have that work mentality.
No. And it's not so much about the sewer system either with the Ninja Turtles. They just happen to live
yeah,
there.
They, yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're residents. This is more of a worker.
Yeah. How did you team up? How did you two team up, Dylan? I mean,
I had known Jay because I used to work at City Beat newspaper, so we would see each other at events and stuff like that. And then he worked with my wife at the ballet, so it's totally haphazard because we were both at the art museum and the kids area, and his kids were there, and my daughter was there, and he was like, "Hey, what have you been doing?" I said, "I've been doing stuff for Sci-Fi Network, doing some drawings and stuff for them." And he was like, "Hey, I'm working on a comic book," and I was like, "Send me the script. I would love to work on that." And it just kind of went from there. And I was just it's a real fun project for me to work on. And being a musician, like I'm in a band, Heavy Hinges, I'm used to working with other people in tandem, so I kind of like that kind of give and take already. So it's really fun for me.
Yeah, you're a musician. You're also an illustrator, artist.
Yes.
You have a background in art.
Yes. That's my day job, is like illustration and stuff like that. So it was pretty fun for me because usually a lot of times people hire me to do like pinup pictures or real sexy, like, you know, boudoir kind of pictures. And he's like, "This is not going to be sexy at all." And I was like, "That'll be exciting." So some of the girls that I would use for like pinup art, I would have them model this, and they'd be like, "So should I wear like a bikini or anything like that?" I was like, "Nope, you're just going to put on this big coveralls and fight imaginary, you know, monsters and stuff like that."
So these are actually based on real people then?
Some of the drawings. Yeah, some of it sometimes is a little quicker for me to like have somebody kind of dress up in the suit and stuff like that. So I actually do have the actual suit that you see her at my house, and, you know, and then I had to find, you know, the right faces and stuff like that. So I had to put it all together.
Yeah. Kind of give us an overview of this. What is the plot, Jay?
So basic plot is it's Lilliput. She is kind of our tour guide to the weird wild world that's right below our feet. And, I mean, it's amazing. In the research, you find out there's thousands of miles of pipes and billions of gallons of wastewater flowing every day. And, I mean, and the idea that we're a very flush and forget it kind of society. We don't care as long as it works. But the process and the hundreds of men and women that I've talked to just a few of them about what they do and how much they're able to accomplish, and it's an essential service. Isn't it one of the keystones of civilization,
I think is what they said? Yeah, they said you need the written word and plumbing for a city to survive.
I know.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up too, and we'll let you continue with the plot, but it's interesting you bring that up because in the opening you say, serving the public good. Mm-hmm. The Metropolitan Sewer District processes over, like you were saying, the statistics, a billion gallons of wastewater from over 10,000 miles of pipe a day. So yeah, there's almost kind of a reverence and a respectfulness in saying that.
Absolutely. I think that especially with these public utilities, we only seem to care when it doesn't work. And when there's flooding, when there's a problem, you know, that's when we seem to. And there's so much that goes right with it. And what's amazing is we don't know what's down there. What's below us. I tried to talk to them into letting me go down into the sewer tunnels, and you actually have to have a psych profile to get that in because of the claustrophobia.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Really? Absolutely.
So anyhow, the continue on the plot a little more for us.
Oh, so Lilliput's kind of our tour guide, and she has a real like the comic book Hellboy, like a workman mentality, and she does her job, and she's just trying to get through the day, and what she's trying to do is keep the tunnels clear. But again, with different things that happens, you have anywhere from talking cockroaches to sentient bacteria that can walk around to a fungus forest to dimensional porters, and just a myriad of different things that I can throw down there and that Dylan can put into drawings.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bizarre, Dylan.
Yeah.
As you said, you use real people as some of the characters.
It's based on real people just so I can kind of get the look. And, I mean, since we're doing this ourselves, it's a little faster for me to have somebody to kind of look at and, you know, crush it out.
When it came to
like
the creatures themselves, though.
All invented.
Pulled it out of your head.
Yeah, all invented. And I usually – me and Jay work really hard on those, and I'll send him some concept sketches, and he'll say, I want it more like this or more like that. So it's really a give-and-take kind of situation with both of us. He's very comic booky. I thought I was comic booky until you talk to somebody who's really comic booky, and then I'm like, oh, yeah. So.
What is it? My mom was so happy about the success of the comic and everything like that, but she still – wants to point out the long boxes in her attic that I have to get of comic books out of her attic.
Yeah.
I know that feeling. Yeah. So is this set in a certain time period?
I didn't want to marry it to a city. I didn't want to marry it to a certain time. But, I mean, you could say modern. But the types of tools that they use, I mean, when I went on the tour with SD-1 in northern Kentucky, it was amazing just the kind of tools they use to clear out the different clogs, the different obstacles, everything like that. So it's kind of got a little bit of futuristic maybe in some of the tools that they can use, a little homemade feel, because as long as nobody's complaining, they can do their job.
Yeah, it's kind of fun too because you don't really see the city except for the opening scene, and then it just goes right down into the sewers, and most of it's all taking place under the sewers. So you kind of like – you don't even know what's going on up there. So the world is – you could be like, is it the sewer right now? Is it the sewer in the future? Is it – yeah. So I it's real fun for me because it's like you can – it's kind of wide open. You don't not really have to do period clothes or anything like that. Yeah. Really,
so Lilliput's one of the main characters. Are there any other characters in the series?
So with Lilliput, she's a filter worker. And one of the best thing is when I was working for the Museum Center, I found this display at the edge of Appalachia, one of the preserves that the Museum Center takes care of. And I found all these great names of freshwater mussels. So fat mucket, sand shell, and Lilliput, freshwater mussels, filter feeders. So it was a great idea to steal and uses nicknames for all the filter workers for the MSD.
So you've gotten help from MSD and from SD-1.
Oh, yeah. They've been really supportive. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Have they seen the comic book since it started coming out?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They've talked to us, and I think we've been featured in newsletters and stuff like that, and they've seen the issues and everything.
Okay, so their reaction's been pretty good to this.
I think so. Yeah. I think it just gives a different perspective to what they do, even though it's definitely. I mean, my favorite kind of fiction is something that's built on the real science. So, I mean, I have that foundation, and then we built a little bit of the fantastic on top of that.
Yeah, we try to see what they do, and then just extrapolate that and make it a little bit bigger. And so I'm always looking at pictures of sewers and how would this work, and then trying to just think of if it was more fantastic,
And sometimes in research, just with the internet and everything like that, or some of the reading at the library, I'm creeped out by they talk about the effects of high caffeine levels in Seattle sewers, or they talk about near pharmaceutical or hospitals, how superbugs have developed in Los Angeles. So, I mean, it creeps me out sometimes some of the stories of things that happen and how we've already incorporated it into the comic book.
Yeah, it's really. I think that the topicalness of it is really fun, but for me, it's more just drawing monsters and the having V, my friend, who's the model. I didn't really know her very well, and I had to go down and somebody was like, "You should use that girl who works at the olive oil stand down at Findlay Market." I maybe had talked to her maybe five times, and then I had to be like, "Hey, would you like to come to my house, put on this outfit, and fight imaginary monsters?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'll be right over." It was that's like really wild.
Is that pretty typical of the illustrating process for comic books and graphic novels?
At first I felt like I was cheating, and then I looked at all these other guys and how they do it. I was like, oh, they do it the same way. So I was like, yeah. I mean, usually you have a model come in and you take some pictures, so it's just a little easier for you to figure it out, or you have the little wooden figure that you compose, and that's how I usually work. You want to have it a little bit based in reality. And it's fun for me too, because then you can be like, hey, look, you're in the comic book. I actually shot the first one with another model, and then Jay was like, yeah, she's supposed to be an Asian, model. So the poor girl is like, yeah, thanks for modeling, but I'm going to actually use somebody else's face on it. She's like, I'm kind of in a comic book. It was pretty funny.
Have you ever had any thoughts, Jay, about partnering with MSD or SD1 to create an educational package for kids?
Oh, we've been
so they can learn the science of the sewer system.
Absolutely. We've been in some discussions and really trying to figure that out. Right now, we wanted to focus on getting first season out there and distribution. And then Dylan is far along on season two.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
I just ingest a lot of caffeine and get it done.
Yeah. But we would love to do that kind of partnership. What I want to continue doing is keeping the lines of communication open. And I just want the research. I want to hear the stories. Yeah. I love talking to them about different things they've encountered, things they've found in the sewers. Different things like that.
And doing this research, is there anything that comes as a really big surprise as you've been?
The fatbergs blew me away. They said that we eat so much fat. That a big giant thing of fat will build up, and they have to go through.
So what it is it's wipes and it's grease and it's different other hygiene products all caught up.
It's a sewer system iceberg.
Yes, it's called a fatberg. I know.
That blew my mind. I was totally unaware of that.
Is there potential for a strange creature from one of those?
Already on it.
We're going to have the first fatberg in comics.
Yeah, finally. It's been a long time coming.
I know. It's been waiting.
So you said you've done the first series is done. First mm-hmm. season, I guess, is the...
Yeah, we call it season, and there's five chapters to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how far – we're just starting to develop the next season, right?
Yeah. That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a little more – I feel like the first one was like creating the universe and saying this is what happens, and now we're like full story.
Yeah, so first season was a little bit more single chapters, more introduction of this world, wild world, and then season two's kind of got a little bit more through storyline.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really been fun for me to work on as well.
How far do you think you can take this?
I've probably about 20 scripts in my mind, and I'm sorry, 20 scripts in my mind, and about 15 scripts already written out. So, yeah, I'm ready to keep going.
Jay's really impressive, too, because a lot of people will say, hey, you do comic books. Why don't you I have a script. Could you check it out? And I was like, yeah, send me a script. They're like, yeah, it was hard. I couldn't come up with anything. So I was like, yeah, he knows what he's doing.
How's this available, Jay?
It's available on the website. We do digital versions, and then we have print versions. And the website is www.mesedcomics.com.
Okay. And we have a link to that at wvxu.org as well. And thank you both for joining us this afternoon. Very interesting to hear about this.
Thank you.
Founder of the No Theater, Jay Kalagayan, who is the writer and publisher of the graphic novel Mest, and artist and musician Dylan Spieg, who illustrates Mest. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at wvxu.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Dave Shermer was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. This week, Mayor John Cranley declared Cincinnati a sanctuary city, a designation with no strict legal definition. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss how the city plans to treat undocumented immigrants and how that could affect future federal funding. And we'll talk with local physicians about the latest pancreatic cancer research and treatments. Last year, an estimated 53,000 Americans were diagnosed with the disease. That's on Cincinnati Edition, tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.